Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 254 of Nerd Pride Radio. 254? Whoa. First Google result. In the San Francisco Bay Area, there is a high school robotics team called Team 254, the Cheesy Poofs. I don't have to say anything more about that. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. Thank you, Lisa. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a Pathfinder / D&D nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus, just like seven other kinds of nerd, I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Oh, as always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios in the formal dining room of the International Space Station. I don't have any other intro stuff, so we're going to get straight to the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind. Oh, wait. See, I stumbled already. At my brother's suggestion, I've changed up the pattern a little bit just so I will stumble on it every week, and then you guys can make fun of me. This is the time for me when I talk about all of the interesting things I've stumbled across in the last week. If something tickles my nerd fancy, I've tried to make it really difficult for myself. During the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list. And then the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out onto you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. Holy cow. Wow. All right, my wife has some Orbeez that came in a little kit, and you're supposed to put Orbeez into a water balloon and then fill it with some water. And then after it's all done, all you now have is, instead of water, you have just Orbeez in a balloon. And it makes a nice little stress toy, a little squeeze thing. And she took one of the tiniest ones and set it just in a bottle cap full of water. We just wanted to see how big it was going to get. And I'm amazed. That little teeny tiny speck, like the Martians from the Looney Tunes, just grew all of a sudden into a full marble-sized thing. I'm amazed at how much water there is. I mean, I know I've seen the Orbeez videos online, but that one's impressive. So, anyway, you lucky dogs, my master list this week really just contains a bunch of stuff like that, because it's a fingertips episode.
Fingertips, fingertips, fingertips.
That's right, fingertips, because, you know, I was way too lazy to develop anything into a full segment this week. So I'm just going to take some stuff off of my list, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll be done. Which is okay, because I only have a little while to record today. It's been a super busy week. More than my usual busy week. It's been kind of crazy. So first off, owl legs. Have you ever seen owl's legs? Seriously? Okay, so what you're going to do right now is just go to Google and type in owl legs under an image search and hit enter. That's it. And then you look at the first picture and you go, holy crap, what is that? Okay, go ahead. No, do it. I'm waiting. Okay. Have you done your search yet? Yeah, well, no, not you necessarily. I showed you already. See, it's the first image right there. See how amazed she is? So, look, I had no idea. Like owls have, I mean, not just legs, but like real legs under there. All you gotta do is lift up the feathers, which, to me, the most interesting thing about that is, now if you want to go further, look up an owl skeleton. And just looking at the skeleton of an owl, imagine that you are an archaeologist who has discovered the skeleton of an owl. All right, and you have actually several samples of them, so you know you've constructed this properly. And you've put together this skeleton of an owl. And looking at that skeleton, how would you paint your beautiful reconstructions of what this ancient animal looked like? What would you make it look like? And it would be like some kind of, I mean, would you even know that it had feathers? Would you know to, you know, to dress it up like that? I mean, or does it just come out looking like a little tiny lizard chicken? I mean, you know, this was the problem that people had when they reconstructed dinosaurs. I mean, you know, for how long reconstructing dinosaurs did we think that the T-Rex walked upright with its tail dragging on the ground as ballast or as a third leg to keep it propped up so it didn't fall over? And now we find out that no, they run like birds, like raptors. They're like bent over with that whole spine horizontal to the ground. And even looking at most dinosaur reconstructions, we're talking about, you know, filling out some muscle and whatnot that keeps it all pretty close to the skeleton. What did they actually look like? I mean, once you put plumage on them, once you put colors on them, I mean, how big and puffy were these things? How dramatic were they? And so the owl is a good example of, boy, look at the skeleton and then look at the finished product. And who would have imagined, right? Super cool. I just somebody said owl legs this week, and so I went and I'm like, what the hell do you mean by it? And I looked it up, and sure enough, oh my god, owl's got legs. That's great. All right, next one on my fingertips. Actually, just wanted to say that Emily from Listener Betrayal, that I've mentioned on this podcast many times, Aiden's friend, she came to my house on New Year's Eve and actually crashed into my home and sat up on my couch for a while. She was with Aiden, and Emily is of legal drinking age, and Aiden is not, so he was the driver. And Emily, it was nice to see you. It was really cool. I don't think Emily remembers being in my house, but just for your own edification, you didn't do anything terrible or embarrassing. So you were very charming, and you were very nice, and you just waited patiently while Aiden went and dug out whatever games he was going to take along for you guys. So, but it was very cool. So, interesting. All right. Okay, so last night I watched Avengers Infinity War for the second time, since I saw that it was on Netflix. I thought, what the hell, I'll watch. And it was interesting watching it a second time, just because, one, I was doing other stuff at the time. I was working on some game stuff and some scout stuff, and you know, it wasn't anything that was real serious, but, you know, I had the movie on in the background, and it was kind of nice because I could watch the storyline parts of the movie, and then every time they started fighting, I'd watch the fight for about 30 seconds and go, okay, they're fighting, whatever, because I didn't really care about those parts anymore. I know how they turned out, and yeah, it's all dramatic and cool and stuff, but it's on the small screen. But then the other interesting things I noticed about it is, one, speaking of being on the small screen, the CGI on this, I don't know if it's the frame rate of the television or if it's just the type of screen that I have, or I don't know what, but the CGI, especially for people who are CGI'd when they started talking or emoting, looked more CGI than usual. And so, whereas on the big screen, I didn't notice any of that. On the big screen, it's all 100% convincing and it looked wonderful. And then I watch it at home and I'm like, wow, that looks a little fakey. The uncanny valley was kind of creeping in when I watched it on TV, so it was weird. But also, watching it on TV at home, I've mentioned before how the ending for Avengers didn't really do anything for me. There was no emotional connection to it because I didn't feel like it was real. Like, you know it's just going to get undone. But I just said, oh yeah, spoilers if you haven't watched Avengers Infinity War, but honestly, if you listen to this podcast and you haven't watched that movie yet, I can't do much for you. But I'm watching the ending, and as I'm getting to it, I can ignore the whole meta aspect of it. The idea that, yes, okay, they're going to do this and it's a huge storyline, but, you know, obviously they're not going to kill Spider-Man because Spider-Man's got another movie already announced. They're not going to kill Black Panther because, God, Black Panther just became, you know, this huge box office smash thing. Obviously there's sequels coming. And so instead of worrying about the meta stuff, because I've already thought of that and hashed it all out, and I think that was part of what was my problem the first time I watched it, is that I couldn't enjoy the scenes, I couldn't appreciate them for what they were because my mind was so busy running through all of this logistical stuff. And this time, I could just let it all go and just watch it and try and put myself in the scene and in the spirit of the people who are watching, you know, everyone they care about just fade into dust and disappear. And in that sense, okay, yeah, okay, I get the emotional weight of it. And it was much more, at least that final sequence was way more enjoyable this time around because I could actually put myself in it and appreciate it for instead of worrying about all the other stuff that goes along with watching this movie. So that was also fascinating. So not that, you know, again, it's still a really enjoyable film, and I'm certainly looking forward to the next one. I don't know. I was thinking about being critical of it for a moment, but that doesn't need to happen here. So, let's see. What else do I have on my fingertips list? Oh, hey, we'll go ahead and clear this one out. My wife is reading one of the Percy Jackson books because Noah is still getting through the series, and after he finishes a book, then she'll take it and she'll read it as well, and then I'll get my turn eventually. If I ever sit down to read, I suppose. And she calls me over and she says, okay, how would you pronounce this name? And the name was P-H-O-R-C-Y-S. So, in English, it looks like it's pronounced Forces. And that's what I said. I said, in English, I would probably pronounce it Forces. And that's, you know, I said, when I read the book, that's probably how I'll hear it in my head. I said, but the original Greek pronunciation was probably Forcus. And she said, Forcus? Why? And I said, well, because, you know, the original Greek, the C's were almost always hard K's. The K sound is a hard C instead of an S sound like we would normally do in this situation. And she's like, well, how would you know that? And I said, well, I don't know, mostly from podcasts, but because, you know, I listen to history podcasts and I listen to language podcasts. And so I think Dan Carlin on the Hardcore History podcast is probably the first one to point this out, that the C's were usually pronounced as K's. And so, but, you know, let's check it out. And so I went to Google and I said, how do you pronounce this word, this name? And so there are two videos came up, the first two results that came up for this. The first one says, how do you pronounce this name? And so I click on it. And it is a very American-sounding woman who reads it off and says, Forces. Forces. Okay, got it. And then the next one is a man with a very heavy Greek accent who, and I can't do the Greek accent the way he kind of put a little roll into the R. I can't do that. But and he reads it off and he goes, Forcus. Yeah, it's that kind of deep, gruff. Forcus. I'm like, all right, cool. I was actually right on both counts. I felt really good about that. I like that. But the thing I find interesting about that is a lot of ancient Greek names that have the C's in them, we just read them as English names. And so, you know, this one we would read as Forces. But a name like the first one that I heard, and this is the one that I know Dan Carlin did, was General Scipio, who was I believe he was the Greek general who was fighting fighting Carthage. God, I don't know why I couldn't come up with that. And it was actually, there were three Scipios. There was Scipio and then Scipio and then Scipio. And he said, but they would actually be pronounced Scipio because of the C. And that's how he pronounced them all the way through this podcast, is General Scipio, which Scipio just sounds super funny to me, but I think it's cool. And then the other one, and this is the other one that's really weird, is Cicero, who was a Greek senator and was one of the leading plotters against Caesar, one of the leaders of the assassination plot against Caesar. And Cicero probably, almost certainly, was pronounced Cicero. And that sounds so completely wrong to my ears, because I've known this historical figure as Cicero for so long. But it was most likely Cicero. And at least from the sources that I've paid attention to so far. And I just find that fascinating. So there you go. That's it for my fingertips. Like I say, I'm on limited time, and it's going to be a short episode. So now, it's time for the... Oh, wait. I have to ring the bell first. There we go. Oh, God, I have to turn it on first. Oh, no, I don't. I do the name first, and it's... I've got myself so flustered now. I should... You know what? Just scratch this. I'm going to remove this. I'm just going to start over. We're going to start over from the beginning of the podcast. And then we'll start over from there. I'll get everything right this time. You guys won't even notice the difference. So here we go. Ready? It's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. And hear me have wrong about something, then you should send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And my first number is 59. And 59 comes from... Oh, so close. There it is. 59 is from Ronster. Hey, Ron. And Ron says, have you ever gone dumpster diving for something? Let's see. Have I ever gone dumpster diving for a lost retainer? Yeah, probably. Have I ever had to go... I've dug through my own garbage any number of times when something comes up missing and there's every possibility that, oh God, did someone throw it away? And then we have to go out and look. Let's see. When I was a kid, I collected bottle caps of different types. And, well, that's not really dumpster diving, but, you know, we certainly went through all the empties and pulled out the caps and that kind of stuff to add to the collection. But, I'm not totally opposed to it. It's not like I think dumpster diving is beneath me other than, it's just icky and I don't like getting my hands dirty. But you know, that's just because it's icky, not because, you know, there's anything wrong with dumpster diving. Look, my Jacob's ex-fiance, her parents own a garbage company, and you would be amazed at the things that they brought home because somebody's just throwing away perfectly good stuff. I mean, you know, furniture, appliances, but one of the other things they do, they never pay for pizza, ever. You know why they never pay for pizza? Because the local pizza shop, the Casey's, is a general store, gas station, convenience store chain that also has a deli and pizza delivery in the shop. And if you tear off every box, every pizza box from Casey's has a little coupon on the box itself that you just tear off the front edge. And if you have 10 of them, you get free pizza. And so therefore, every time they see pizza boxes in the garbage, they just tear the coupons off the front and throw them in a container in the truck, and they never pay for pizza because, holy crap, apparently most people never tear those things off. So, you know, again, I am not going to go... I cannot imagine dumpster diving for food, but I can certainly see recovering stuff from the trash that other people throw away, but, you know, it's still perfectly usable or appeals to me in whatever way. My brother-in-law, Brooke, who I talked about last week, Brooke works for his local city as a kind of a, I don't know, a jack-of-all-trades working for the city. And, you know, when he has to do stuff down at the dump, when they have to work around there, if he finds stuff that is perfectly good, he'll pick it up. And, yeah, I'm right on board with that. Come on. Reuse, recycle, it's green, and it's cost-effective, and, yeah, I got no problem with those. 89. 89 is. There we go. It's also from Ronster. This is going to be an all Ron episode. Let's just call it right now. Ron says, if the Walmart near you was closed, ostensibly to build an even bigger one somewhere not too far away, and they offered the building free of charge to the person with the best community-enriching plans for it, what would your plans be, assuming you were interested in the whole idea? Wow. Okay, my local Walmart is a huge building. I'm trying to imagine what I could put in a building that size that would be viable and community enriching. Oh, man. And free of charge, as long as I had the best idea. All right. My first thought is the world's largest laser tag. Is that what every community needs? I mean, obviously, look, we don't have a community near the size to support a huge laser tag business like that. Like, I don't even know if we have a community big enough to support a small laser tag business. But, man, that would be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the right way to go with it. I mean, what else do you do with that huge cavernous space? I mean, what, cut it up into affordable apartment housing for people? That seems really dull, right? Yeah, no. You know, you use it to serve the community in some way. I'm pretty sure laser tag is the right way to go. Laser tag with, like, you know, different areas. I mean, like, there's the trampoline area, but it's still laser tag. Because I'm sure hopping on trampolines with your laser tag equipment is super safe. Oh, man. I just saw a trampoline dodgeball the other day. It's in one of those trampoline arenas where they have, you know, trampolines side by side all the way around the thing. Trampolines up against the wall. And then they're in there playing dodgeball. Oh, man, these guys are good. That was so much fun to watch. And, I mean, when someone gets pegged, it is entertainment. So, yeah, so maybe it would just be, maybe it would have to have a dodgeball section. Okay, trampolines are definitely involved. All right, I'm going to work on this. But, oh, man, ooh, but what if it was dedicated to all sorts of cool sets and costumes and stuff for massive cosplay events. I mean, you could build all sorts of realistic sets in there for, I mean, even outdoor sets because you've got all that open space. That, wow, that would be really cool. And then, you know, you never have to worry about weather. Oh, so many thoughts. All right, I'll come back to it. Double aught. We have won the jackpot. Double aught is number 100, also Ronster. And Ron says, what do you think the best thing a person can do to help the environment, what is the best thing a person can do to help the environment, excluding prohibiting actions and activities? So, what's the best thing someone can do for the environment other than cutting their activities that seems like an odd rider to this question? Because if you're going to tell me, okay, without restricting your abilities, how can you help the environment? That's really tough. I don't know. Shooting people who are huge wasters of resources, people with giant carbon footprints, that's not prohibiting me from doing anything. That's obviously a joke. Because honestly, the best thing you can do to help the environment, in my opinion, as a single individual, in your own life, your own lifestyle, be a vegetarian. That's huge. Like, I can't do it. I could do it. I don't think I have the willpower to make that switch. It's a huge lifestyle change. But being a vegetarian, changing your eating habits, limiting your meat intake. I mean, you don't even have to cut out meat entirely, but reduce it, you know, reduce it and go, you know, with more fish, more chicken, not as much beef, and just not as much meat in general. Like maybe, you know, 20% of the meat you take in and that's it. All right. And, because the damage to the environment from meat production is way larger than the damage to the environment from plant production when it comes to food resources. So therefore, you know, for helping the environment, that's one of the really good reasons I see for becoming a vegetarian, is helping the environment. But again, you know, I can tell you what you ought to do, but I'm not going to follow my own advice, at least not at this point in my life. So, yeah, beats me. 86. 86 is from... Oh, all right. No, it's from Kyle. All right, I was looking at the wrong one. I was looking at 88, which was from Ronster, so I was going to announce that it's from Ronster again, but it's not. 86 is from Kyle, and Kyle says, "You have been cursed and become the tooth fairy for a week. It's as exhausting as you think. In the 4 hours you have for free time, what do you do? Assuming that you have full tooth fairy powers." Well, tooth fairy powers at this point involve the ability to fly and the ability to slip in and out of children's bedrooms unnoticed, and the ability to... Well, are there multiple tooth fairies? So, I mean, we're not assuming that there's a single tooth fairy so that they have to move at Santa Claus-like speeds to get to all of the teeth in one night. So really, it's mostly just the ability to fly and the ability to sneak into children's bedrooms unnoticed. I think, you know what? I think I'm just going to take a nap. Honestly, I'm exhausted. Being a tooth fairy is a really hard job. And, you know, I fly. It would be really cool to go fly to some amazing places and see the sights. But, you know, what else are you going to do? Because, you know, again, sneaking into children's bedrooms is only useful for stealing teeth. And even that's kind of creepy. 94 is... I gotta learn. Don't leave those big silences in there. I don't know what's wrong with me, man. It's like I've never done this before. This one's from Ronster. And Ronster says, "Hey, Smeghead." That's rude. "Hey, Smeghead, have you ever watched the British sci-fi comedy Red Dwarf?" So I assume Smeghead comes from Red Dwarf. And by the fact that I didn't know that, that would indicate that my answer is no. Although that's not true. I actually watched the first 4 episodes of Red Dwarf because I knew it was a British sci-fi classic, comedy classic, and it seemed really interesting. And so when it first came on Netflix or wherever it was I saw it, I'm sure it was Netflix, I started watching it, and I got through the first 4 episodes, and it was, you know, mildly entertaining, and I thought, okay. And, you know, as I get into it and I get into the lore, I'm sure it'll just get better and better, and then after 4 episodes, I stopped watching and never went back to it because it just wasn't that entertaining. It's one of those things that I think was super funny in its day, and if you saw it back then, it is probably super funny and sticks with you. But, you know, trying to introduce somebody new to it, it's a chore. It takes a little work. That's my guess. You know, for example, Monty Python and the Holy Grail is on, and it's on Netflix right now. So I'm thinking of watching that with my 2 younger ones and seeing how it holds up. And I have no idea. We'll see. I mean, like I say, it's British comedy from the 1970s. It may not be funny anymore, at least not to them. So we'll see. Although, how can you not find the witch and the duck funny? I mean, really. I know there's the tower and Galahad and the women in the tower. I'm trying to talk about it without giving it away, as if, you know, 40, 50 years isn't enough time for spoilers. But I'm trying to think of how inappropriate that is, and probably a little. So I don't know. I don't know how well it's aged. I haven't seen it in about 10 years. So, you know what? I'll probably do that this week, and we'll find out. And 89 we've already done. Weird. 62 comes from Daz. Hey, Daz. Daz says, My daughter wants to be an astronaut on the third mission to Mars. Good. That is smart. Let me finish reading. Her reasoning being, okay, good, but I didn't pontificate too much on that. Her reasoning being, the first two will be far too dangerous, and it will take some time to iron out the problems with the journey. Is she right? And wouldn't the glory of being the first woman on Mars mean that it's worth taking the risk? Wow. That, again, depends on your tolerance for risk, because it's not that I think that the people on the first trip or two are going to die, but I think it's possible, likely, that the people on the first couple of trips to Mars are probably going to suffer some sort of severe long-term effects from being on this journey without the proper precautions or without the proper equipment, because of just stuff we didn't know. Bless you. And so she's smart. I mean, honestly, those first two missions are going to be wild. The idea that we, NASA, sent astronauts, you know, the president announced that we're going to put a man on the moon, and we put a man on the moon within 10 years on a shoestring. I mean, look at the technology we had. They were calculating the physics of it on slide rules to get astronauts to the moon. That's crazy. Crazy. I mean, slide rules are really cool, super powerful, and yet it's not a computer, dude. Weird. So, you know, the first trip to Mars is going to be dangerous. Therefore, third trip, that's fine. The important part is you want to go to Mars and you want to help humanity further science and knowledge and encourage people in this spirit of adventure and all that. Then great, go on the third trip. I think that's smart. I think that's wonderful. If you want to be famous and have your name live for centuries as the first woman on Mars, or, you know what, screw that. If you're going to be on the first trip, aim for being the first person on Mars. Aim for being the first one to step out the door and set foot on Martian soil. All right? And then that way, it doesn't matter man or woman, be the first person on Mars. That's huge. All right? And if that's what's important to you, then go for it. But if it's more important that, you know, you live a long life to help more people, be there for your family, this kind of stuff, third trip is good. Fourth, maybe. Seriously. I mean, you know, make sure that the first two aren't flukes and that we find out it's so dangerous that we're not even going back. Because then, you know what, maybe you'll be glad you stayed home. I'm just saying. So, number 80. Didn't we do 80 already, too? Nope, I guess not. And this is from Kyle. Kyle says, what is Aiden's shoe size? It's the same as our dad's, man. God. Which is 10 and a half. God, I can't just leave him hanging there. I have to fill it in as if... it's just crazy. All right. 83. 83 is from Walrus. And Walrus says, what should I do to the characters in my Saturday night game? They are the reasons I can't do listener betrayal, after all. Well, that is a great, great question. And what I would do is introduce them to a new NPC character, someone who is very useful to them, that they need the help of a guide for this particular local area. And it looks like a one-off character, because it's small, weird, kind of sickeningly cute, super annoying, and they need this NPC's help, but it's not as helpful as they want it to be, but it's also not, you know, it's not evil or mean, it's just annoying, and eventually they get what they need. But you keep this thing around way too long, right? You give it a voice, you give it a personality, and even after they've done what they need and this thing has helped them out and off they go, it just follows along. It decides to be their little mascot and it sticks around, all right? And now their laughter at this comic character has actually turned into genuine affection. You're actually going to wind up liking this character a lot yourself, right? And then, at a crucial moment, have this NPC character completely betray the team. Just totally stab them in the back, break their hearts. I want them to feel it, and it'll be a real betrayal. And it'll be a great, great role-playing moment, but it'll also be a terrible, terrible, painful one. All right? This was something that I did to my characters a while back. It was Jacob was playing with his friends. And Aiden was in the group, too. He was the tag-along little brother who got to be in as well. And I introduced them to a little plant creature that, I think her name was Sunflower, but she was a living plant. And she had this weird voice, and so I put on this weird voice. I can't even remember what it was, but it was this weird voice, and she was super annoying because they needed her to, they needed her as a guide, and she was super annoying, but eventually she'd get to the point, and she'd just help them out, and she, as it turns out, she was working for the evil succubus who ruled over the city, and she wound up betraying her master to help these guys, because Sunflower was not an evil person, and so she wanted to help them. Ultimately, in the end, after she was around forever, and in the end, she ultimately betrayed them to the succubus in order to save her own life, and so therefore, she betrayed them, and they were so pissed. Some of them forgave her and understood why she did it, and some of them did not. And then eventually, to atone for her sins, she wound up sacrificing herself to allow them to make their escape in the very end. Some of them who had been a little bit softer, they were mad at her, but they understood. And then she sacrifices herself, and they were very moved. But one of them, Jacob's friend Micah, he was stoic. It's like she sacrifices herself, and he's like, whatever, good, let's go. I'm like, man, you are heartless, dude. But do that. Do that. Give them something to love, and then kill it in a terribly painful way. Destroy it. Have it betray them and tear their hearts out. That's what they really need. So, just say it. You can do whatever you want, but this is a pretty effective one, I think. So give it a try. Let me know how it goes. 91 comes from, there it is, Ronster. If you could make Saturday morning cartoons a thing again, would you? No, because they'll never be as good as they used to be. It was a moment in time. For Saturday morning cartoons to be a thing required that the available television programming is so limited, so narrow, that really the only time that you're going to get cartoons is on Saturday morning when really everyone else is sleeping in and doing other stuff, and the kids are the only ones awake because there's no school. And, Saturday morning was the time for that. But now, to make that a thing again would mean not having all of the hundreds of thousands of options we have for watching entertainment. Saturday morning cartoons were pretty much killed once cable became as big as it did. When everyone had 60 channels in your house, when you had Cartoon Network in your house, and you can watch cartoons 24/7, you can watch kids programming on Nick 24/7, why do you need Saturday morning cartoons? So, as much as I loved that experience, and I'm very nostalgic for my Saturday morning cartoons, especially Schoolhouse Rock. That was my favorite part of Saturday morning cartoons. For years, Schoolhouse Rock. Loved it. As much as I would love to make that a thing again, it would require taking away so much in order to make that particular thing important again. So no, it wouldn't. 75. And that's actually a lot of nostalgia is, you want to go back to it. You think back to this fonder time, this older time when things seemed better to you for some reason, but then you realize that going back to that would require taking away so much that is actually still good. Going back to things that were, when people talk about the good old days, good old days for a certain segment of our society, but there are lots of oppressed people who, for them, you want to go back 40 years, wow, No, no thank you. That's a really horrible step to have to take. So, anyway, 75. That's where I was. And 75 is... scrolling goes the other way, Mike. There it is. Wow, it's from Daz again. Man gets two. That is amazing. And, ooh, it's a bedwetter behead. All right, I haven't had one of these in a while. Bedwetter behead. Oh, no. I'm not wetting the bed. It's bed, wed, or behead. And my choices are Daredevil, Elektra, and Doctor Strange. Okay. Clearly, I'm going to bed Elektra because I just see her as being the most talented in that particular department. So we're going to start with Elektra. And then, Mary Kill, Daredevil, and Doctor Strange. That is so harsh. Look, I think Daredevil, I think Matt is just too... He's too driven. He's too dedicated to this whole crime-fighting thing. I don't think he can devote himself to another person. I really don't. And so, therefore, I'm going to have to kill Daredevil and marry Doctor Strange. I think he and I would have a lot more in common. And, yeah, I know. He's still the Sorcerer Supreme, and he still has to devote himself to protecting our reality and all that stuff. But, you know, at least during the times he's away... God, his house is super entertaining. I could live there. There's all sorts of cool things in Doctor Strange's place. And I'd learn the rules. I'd be good about it. I wouldn't go, you know, poking into anything dangerous, anything that's going to, you know, tear holes in the fabric of reality or anything like that. Because I'm sure there's plenty of stuff like that in his house. But, yeah, no, that'd be a good time. I'm all on board for that. 20. 20 is from Ronster. Nice. Monster says, have you ever written or performed a song? I don't believe I've ever written a song. Oh, no, I did write a song once. When I was in eighth grade, we were required to write a song, and we were allowed to use it was me and Kevin Adler. And me and Kevin were supposed to write a song. And we could use an existing song and then just write our own words to go with it. Or we could write something completely original. And I don't know why we bothered to write something completely original, because nobody else did. But we decided we'd write original. And it turns out that neither one of us had any musical talent whatsoever. And thus, it really came out as more of a chant than an actual song. Because, you know, there was no, I don't know, tune or notes. It was really, really lame. I wish I could remember anything about it. Except that I remember that once we tried to share it with our music teacher, you could see the pain in her eyes because it was terrible. So that's the only song I've ever written. And as for performing, I mean, really, karaoke, pretty much. That's about it. And yes, I've sang karaoke several times. I love singing karaoke. I think it's a lot of fun. Mostly rap songs, but, you know, I love karaoke. Last one, 84. 84 is from, there it is, it's from Daz again, my god, and another bed, wed, or behead. Good work, Daz. It is, all right, bed, wed, or behead, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Channel. Okay, clearly I'm going to kill Disney Channel. Because anything else implies that I'm having sex with it, and that feels really pedophilic, you know what I mean? So I'm going to have to kill the Disney Channel, I'm sorry, I just have to. Okay, so that leaves me with Netflix and Amazon Prime. Wow, that is hard. I don't know. God, do I have to choose? Because they're both good at different things. And... I'm amazed you didn't put Hulu in here. But, wow. All right. Oh, God. I'm going to marry Amazon Prime and just have a fling with Netflix, even though, boy, it's just one night. How can I possibly absorb everything I need to from Netflix in just one night of passion? I don't... You know what? All right, no, change it. I'm going to stick with it. Go with my gut. I'm going to marry Amazon Prime. I'm going to have my night of passion with Netflix, and I have to kill the Disney Channel there. All done. All right. And that is the end of the Podomatic. So, let's turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and the only bumper music I used this week was Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use, though, are available on iTunes. You should check them out, buy them, enjoy them. You're not going to my podcast if I don't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write me a nice review or a crappy review. Write me any review as long as it comes with 5 stars, because the 5-star rating actually is what makes the difference. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. You're enjoying it. Come on. Spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me, the Nerd Pride Radio Podcast, and Bicoastal Disorder, which is awesome, and you've had plenty of time to catch up on all their episodes. But again, still, new one coming, I am promised. So, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I'm always looking for your listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, Mike at Nerd Pride Radio, at Nerd Pride Radio on some social medias out there. But honestly, best way to talk to me is sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together, and we will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and Facebook and I post up, hey guys, I'm recording, talk to me. And then anything that people post up, I read off here at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. And even though I said I was thinking about starting my own Platinum listener group and sending out texts, I didn't do that this week, and yet I got texts for it anyway, if you can believe that. So we're going to start right off with Facebook, where there is nothing. So that was super easy. And it was a short podcast. It's only been an hour. So can't expect people to be paying attention 24/7, right? Right, that's what I tell myself. Then I go to my forums, and I said, this is happening. Say something that will surprise me. So, the first one is a post from the Unkillable Thread. The Unkillable Thread has been going on for over 2 years, and the idea is, if you can post to the Unkillable Thread, and then no one else posts for 24 hours, you have officially killed the thread and you win. And it's Connor McThread of the Clan McThread, if you actually go looking for it. But this Unkillable Thread has been open for over 2 years and still has not died, because it has not gone in 2 years. It's not gone 24 hours without a post. And so at some point in the last, 3 weeks, the Unkillable Thread has apparently come to life, because there is a registered user named Unkillable Thread who speaks with the thread's voice, I'm guessing. And so Unkillable Thread says, wow, this is great. I don't get that one. He's very positive, or she is very positive and upbeat, at least in my interactions with it. So, this is great. I don't get that much, you know. I didn't know you had a podcast. What sort of things did you talk about today? Did you talk about me? Well, I did just now, because you're writing in and I saw your name. Wow. This is amazing. How are you doing, Mike? Is Kyle doing okay? He keeps me alive too, you know, even if he doesn't really want to. I forgive him. He's been going through tough stuff right now. It must be hard. Anyway, I should go. Linda's waiting to pick me up. Talk to you later, Mike. Oh, thanks, Unkillable Thread. That is so sweet of you to check in like that. Look, I talked about, well, see, here's the thing, is that if you've listened to me up to this point in the podcast, if you've listened all the way through to get to here, then you know already what I've talked about today. So the stuff I've talked about is all that stuff. But, hey, I appreciate having you around, because you're really cool like that. So, you know, in fact, I could call you my friend. How's that, Unkillable Thread? I'm sure that'll help. So, next up, it's Talvin, and Talvin says, did you order Gen Con badges? No, but my wife forwarded the link to me about it. And they say, yes, Gen Con badges for 2019 are on sale right now. And I got to talk to Dave. I mean, we don't want to wait too long, because last year they did sell out and all. But I think we got some time. But I got to talk to Dave, because we're putting in for, I'm going to buy a vendor badge. Avenger, I don't know, whatever Kaz bought last year that lets him get into the playtest hall and playtest games. And so I'm going to buy one of those, which actually comes with two badges, so it'll be one for me and one for him, and then we'll also pick up an extra badge for my son Eli, who's coming with us. So I just got to work that out with Dave first, make sure we've got all the details, make sure we're buying the right stuff. But yes, we are going to very soon, and I'm super excited. So then the next one's also from Talvin. Says, hey, Mike, how awesome is DM Darks? Oh, so awesome. Pretty awesome, right? And what about Sarah Beth? Oh, man, no, Sarah Beth is awesome, too. They are an awesome couple, and I greatly enjoy their company. I feel really bad. This last week, the last Pathfinder game we played on Thursday night, I apologize to them, and I apologize to you and to everyone else who was there, because, oh, man, it was just an off night. And so I got in super late because Pet Band ran long. And then once Eli got home from pep band, it was a matter of keeping everybody on track with their homework, because he not only had homework to do, but he also was preparing his speech for the speech meet this weekend. And you got to know Eli. Eli is a morning person. And when it comes to the evening, once it starts getting late, when it's past his bedtime, I mean, man, his body clock is just right on. So when it gets after, you know, he's 30 minutes past his bedtime, he's worthless. He is just out. And so it was tough to keep him focused and going. But he got through it all. He actually did well. He had quizzes to study for, and he did well on those. Speeches turned out really well this weekend. His one duet that he's doing with his friend Trevor, the duet is How to Survive a Horror Movie. And that one, again, it took him a long time to get it cut, and so they didn't get a ton of practice with it. But they didn't do bad with it, and it'll get better. And then the other one, they did a group performance with three of their friends, so it was five of them total, and they got a medal for it. They got third place for the entire meet, so that was pretty darn good. We were really proud of them. But anyway, the upshot of all of that is that, as a result, I got in super late. I was like over an hour late just getting started, and even when I was there, I was really not doing much. I was paying attention. I was reading every couple of minutes, making sure I was keeping caught up, but my participation was really just, yeah, I'm still singing. No, not going to do anything, because I just didn't have the time or energy to look up actual real actions that could have been helpful. So I just kept the song going. So I feel bad, because I wasn't all there for Thursday, but next time will be better. So we'll get there. I mean, people, yeah, you know what? We're, and I know you guys don't care. We're all good. People miss out. People have things going on. People are late sometimes. And we're all always very forgiving and understanding. And we still have a good time. So I appreciate all of you guys for that. And then it says, done. But then, I said say something surprising. So, surprise, there's something that came in after the done. And it's my wife. and she says, I'm pregnant. Yeah, you're right. That would surprise me a lot. That would be really surprising. So, we're just going to assume that she's joking. Let's just assume that. So, anyway. Wait. And then I said I had one other, I had a text that came in from my friend Dave, and Dave said, oh crap, listener betrayal. I'm at a gig playing vintage dance music from the 20s and 30s. Wow. Cool gig. Have you ever talked about how awesome all your edits to Godball are? No, I didn't, but I did do some editing this week. We're punching up the rules. We're actually coming to our new, I think I mentioned it last week. Our new print and play version 4 is going to be ready probably in the next month, and I'm really excited about that one. because it just, I don't know, this one just feels really good. The playtests we've been doing have felt really good. I don't know how awesome the edits are necessarily, but what I am excited about is after the last time we played, I started getting kind of amped up to try getting back in the rules, because both of us through the holidays have taken the time off and all this. And so just this last week, I asked Dave and said, so here's what I'm thinking of doing. Here's what I want to work on. You know, I've got all this energy, so I think I'm going to do some proofreading and go back through all the old cards and go through the rules. And he said, well, before you do that, what you should really do is try designing a deck of cards. Just go through, because you know, we, in the beginning, we all worked together. Well, me and him worked together to come up with God powers. And so the first couple decks of cards were mostly him, but I also put a lot of stuff into those too. And so that was the early stuff. And then we started doing some revisions, and we both made suggestions, and his brother and Wowie and some other people got in on it and made some suggestions. But then the last revision, most of the stuff that's in them came directly from Dave and his brother. And I had almost no input into those, and I felt horrible. I was doing other stuff and just didn't have the time for it, and they had the energy, so they did it. And so I felt kind of bad. And so Dave said, why don't you design a deck of cards in this new style? And he said, don't go with any of the ones we have existing. He said, start from scratch and build like Artemis, because Artemis would be the god that matches up with Atalanta, who is my favorite hero. And so I said, all right, cool, I'll give it a shot. I was a little doubtful, but I went ahead and made the deck, and oh man, talk about insight. Yeah, suddenly I had a way better understanding of where everything was going and what it is we're looking for, and just to create the deck required me to do a whole bunch of reading and research on the mythology that goes behind this particular god. And so it got me back into the mythology for everybody and into the spirit of the game. And it was just really, really cool experience. And so therefore, I've been doing this for it. So once I got Artemis's deck, which is not even something we're going to use right away. I mean, we'll probably put it into a playtest here or there, but it's not going to be in the base set. It's for a future expansion if we ever get to expansions. But with that energy, I'm now doing revisions to the rules and kind of getting them cleaned up and figuring out some of the stuff that doesn't quite make sense, or that, oh yeah, no, we've talked about that in play and maybe we'd do better this way or whatever. It's coming out really clean. I like it. So, yeah, like I said, maybe in a month we'll have a new edit out, and we'll publish version 4 of the playtest and see how that one goes over. So, you know, pretty cool. But then that's it. That's everything I got. Wow, we're under an hour. I'm actually going to get home on time, so this is cool. You guys are awesome. I love you. Thank you for being here. I will talk to you next week. And that's all she wrote.